Okay, so Ali, our the floor is yours.
Thank you, Louisa. Hi, my name's Ali. I'm an alcoholic. Good morning to everyone who's calling, who's here from the other side of the Atlantic, and good afternoon to everyone else who's here from Europe. I'm based in London. Right. I was actually gonna give Louisa a call about an hour ago and cancel because I've not been very well and I took a COVID test yesterday. And the thick line came up immediately, and I thought, oh my God, it's upside down. And then I realized I've actually got COVID for the third time. So I feel a little bit woolly. My brain feels a little bit woolly. I didn't sleep hardly at all last night. I slept for about an hour, which is a really strange side effect of this bloody virus that I couldn't sleep. And I just feel a little bit weird. So if I have to run off, I'll let you know. So yeah, another one of the side effects is brain fog. I've had it now for the third time, and the last time I had it took me a long time to get back to normal. And yesterday I was on my way to go to a job, and I thought, you know what? I don't think I can face this. And normally, there's a reason for that, and I just hadn't been feeling right. So I took a COVID test, and it came out positive. So I've got 5 days of isolating from people. I'm bored already. I've nearly finished a whole book. I don't feel strong enough to do anything manual or do anything, heavy duty. So anyway, here I am. Talk about recovery. My sobriety date is the 1st of May 2009, which means that I'm coming up to 14 and a half years sober. I haven't had a drink since the first meeting, but I'd got to the point where I was completely ready to embrace the sober lifestyle because I'd fucked things up for about 30 years. I had self-medicated after being diagnosed with depression and anxiety at 18 years old. I ditched the medication that the doctor gave me, and I just used alcohol and drugs, which is part of my story as well, just to self-medicate over the next 30 years. So the depression seemed to go at that point because I didn't stop, and I just kept going. I was just on this bloody treadmill, merry-go-round, whatever you want to call it, where the same things would happen to me again and again, and it took me a long, long time to get out of the denial and realize that it was the alcohol that was at the root of the problem. I'd end up losing a job. I'd end up, splitting up with somebody. I'd end up losing where I was living, and it would always happen at once. And then 6 months down the line, or a year down the line, or 2 years down the line, it would all happen again. And it's almost like I was expecting it because one thing would happen. I would expect that the other two things would happen as well. And I don't know whether that was me unconsciously sabotaging things, or that I just genuinely couldn't cope with having to work and act like an adult because I was too busy going out and partying the whole time. The first jobs that I did since leaving uni, which also I didn't finish either. I left halfway through. I worked in music where I was able to indulge my late nights and my lifestyle because that was what I needed to do because it was that was what I did. I'd go out and I'd find myself back at my desk at 9:30 in the morning, and my boss would turn up an hour later, having left an hour before me, and I'd be like, "Ah, you bloody lightweight," and I could do that. I could stay up all night in my 20s and go straight to work the next day and carry on, and not have any side effects from it, which was pretty amazing. I remember telling someone one day not to try to keep up with me because I really thought that I had the constitution of an ox, and I think most of the time I did have. But anyway, After 30 years of doing that, it really was beginning to wear thin. Everyone else around me had done things like, settle down, got married, have kids. I never wanted that. I never wanted to have kids. Kids would have interfered with my lifestyle, and also I didn't want to be a mother. I didn't want to be bringing up children. I didn't actually like children, and actually I still don't. There's the odd one that I like, but on the whole, I don't like them. And I'm glad that I was born in an age where there wasn't that pressure. There wasn't that pressure to have kids, because I always got the impression that my mum never wanted to have the three of us, and that she was, because she was married, there was an expectation that she would have, excuse me, have a couple of kids. And it turned out that me and my sister were twins, so she ended up with three. And get like to remind us that that wasn't really in her plan. Excuse me, I've just got to have a drink of water. So yeah, so I came in. When I came in, I was very angry. I was really pissed off. I was very defensive. I didn't know what I was angry at. All I know is that I was quite a broken person, really, but I started to sort of thaw out, and I found myself a sponsor, and I worked through the steps, and I got myself a home group, and I did service and did all the things that you're supposed to do. I always had a problem with the God stuff, but I just sort of would nod and put it to one side and just take what I needed and leave the rest. And it was only really during the first bout of COVID that we started to have these Zoom meetings, and we started to branch out and to understand that there was actually a worldwide group of secular people in AA, which was the main advantage, really, of having these meetings. So I embraced that whole alternative to AA. I mean, the whole structure of AA is absolutely brilliant. It's just a shame that the big book was written almost 100 years ago and was almost exclusively white male orientated to white men. Didn't really ca counter for women or for anyone else who considered themselves to be not a white male. So, I mean, the whole idea is amazing. The fellowship's amazing. But it was just that whole. A whole religiosity which seems to have taken over, that was a sticking point for me. But I was so desperate that I didn't want to go back to drinking again, and I realized that I had to keep coming to meetings whether I liked it or not, because I would start to slip back into my old ways, and I would just find myself getting a little bit edgy, getting a little bit grumpy, being rude to people. Beginning to slip a bit, beginning to, I mean, the cravings had gone, but there are a couple of occasions I've gone through a few bereavements while I've been in recovery, and it's only the most recent one, which was a really good friend of mine, who died about 6 weeks ago, and that was under really tragic circumstances. It wasn't expected, and I think because of that, I was very, very close to picking up. And I got to the point where I got in touch with a couple of my WhatsApp groups. And I said, I really don't know what to do. I really feel like I need to completely annihilate myself and get absolutely hammered, because I couldn't think of any other way of getting my head to stop. Running through the whole situation that had been happening over and over again. And I'd be awake most of the night. There were some friends I could talk to about it, but they weren't in recovery, and their answer to things was to go out and get pissed and have a good cry. And in fact, I got a message from a friend of ours going, it must be really difficult for you because we've got beer. And I was like, oh God. But then I thought, you know what? She's fucking right, actually. Because that would have been the first thing that would have turned 2 years ago. But I thought I was over that now. I thought, okay, over 14 years of sobriety, I'm over the craving. But I think that situation was just so fucking painful that I really didn't know what else to do. And the great thing was that the phone started to ring, And people started inviting me out and saying, don't stay home on your own with all this going on, you know, come out. And I got, you know, managed to sort of get out and about when all I wanted to do was really hide, you know. And that sort of, you know, that sort of fellowship and that sort of support is absolutely priceless, you know. I don't know whether you ever get that anywhere else, you know. So listen, my throat's really sore and I'm feeling a bit bleh. So I think I've spoken for about 10 minutes. I'm actually gonna leave it there if that's okay. Thank you.